In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville. Welcome back to Perfectville. That's right, you just finished episode 112, but here we are, episode 113, your first place podcast for your first place Miami Dolphins. I am still Sam Marcoux. He is still the two-time Hall of Famer, Christopher Colin. Chris, I just talked to you, but here you are. Have you changed? How do you feel right now?
I am still okay. How are you? Okay.
I am doing fan-flipping-tastic, and that's because the Miami Dolphins are 1-0, and we're going to week two against one of our rivals. Yes, one of the biggest rivals. Some would say the biggest rival that we possibly could have, and that, of course, would be the New Jersey Jets of New York with Sam Darnold, rookie quarterback extraordinaire. They are also 1-0. They are in the AFC East. This is going to be their home opener. The Miami Dolphins are looking to play spoiler. We have the hashtag MetLife Takeover, where Dolphins fans go and storm the castle there at MetLife Stadium. What are your thoughts going into week two against the hated New York Jets?
Hate the Jets. Fuck the Jets. But very interesting game with them having such a high draft pick this year. We thought they would, you know, be all kinds of terrible and bad. Sam Darnold, first play of his rookie NFL career, throws a pick six, and you think, oh, here we go. The ground is tumbling beneath them. It's the next Mark Sanchez. It's the next whoever the hell they drafted, that one guy that punched his teammate in the face. I don't even remember him. That's how bad
talking
he was.
Talking about Geno Smith getting punched in the face.
Geno Smith, yes. Here's Sam Darnold, but he looked poised after that. He looked all right. Looked good. Jets put 48 fucking points on the Lions with the help of possibly knowing their calls. Who knows? We talked about it a little bit earlier, but they put 48 points, only gave up 17. The Lions look like absolute garbage. I think they looked worse than the Jets looked good.
There it is.
Their running back had Isaiah Crowell had a few good runs, a 60-yard touchdown, but I feel like we held our own against Deion Lewis, and Derrick Henry are both, in my opinion, better running backs than him. So it's going to be a dogfight. Rivalry games mostly are, and it's going to be nice to be tested this early, and it's weird to say that.
I think it's the best thing that could have happened to the Miami Dolphins is to see the Jets in prime time succeed, because I do think I was actually feeling a little bit more confident after our game against the Tennessee Titans that, you know what, we have the ability here to go 3-0 into New England, because the Jets are terrible and the Oakland Raiders are terrible. But having a day to digest not only our win, but also then take a seat back and go, oh, you know what? These Jets are no joke. They could actually play some ball, I think, might help refocus this team and remotivate them to make sure that they're coming out and swinging in all phases of the game. I agree with you. I think the Detroit Lions probably looked worse than the New York Jets looked good. But kudos to the Jets for capitalizing on those opportunities to look good. Sam Darnold, as you mentioned, threw a pick six for his first pass as a rookie quarterback here in this league. But after that, there's no denying his talent. I mean, you even mentioned it during your drunken spiel when you saw that the Jets drafted him way back on the Draftermath episode, that he might be a problem for the Miami Dolphins long term. I think this is going to be a dogfight here, something that could be interesting, because you have the veteran in Ryan Tannehill coming back from his devastating injury. You've got the blossoming rookie in Sam Darnold, and you've got two iconic franchises of the AFC East battling one another. The crowd is going to be interesting because they are playing at home. It is their home opener week two, but the Miami Dolphins over the last couple of years, the Dolphins, the citizens of Perfectville, have come together for the hashtag MetLife Takeover and really done some damage to that stadium with regards to the noise level. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. I expect fights in the crowds. I expect fights on the field. I expect somewhat of a chess match between Adam Gase and Todd Bowles. What is this game going to boil down to, Chris? What do we have to do to stop the Jets on offense? What do we have to do to take advantage of that defense? What do we got to do to win this game and go 2-0?
We have to establish a run game on offense and not make Ryan Tannehill throw and win this game. I think we have to establish a run game where we can be unpredictable in our play calling. And I think on defense, it's absolutely vital that we get pressure on the rookie. If we let him sit back and throw and scan the field and let guys get open, then it's just a recipe for disaster. It's going to be a snowball effect with the crowd as well. Momentum will be going. Rhythm will be going if we do not get a pass rush. Quinn, Wake, the guys up the middle, some blitz packages from Matt Burke has to be top of the line here for our defense to get this kid throwing quicker than he wants to, and then letting our defensive backs use their athleticism, Minka and Rashad Jones and McDonald and Xavier Howard and McCain, and our speed at linebacker to jump some routes, catch some interceptions, and really get in the head of the rookie quarterback. We've had success doing it before. We just got to do it again. It's all about the defense here, stopping Sam Darnold from getting anything going and establishing a running game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting game because I do think we're going into a hostile environment. The Jets fans are going to be jacked through the roof after watching their team on the road beat up all over the Detroit Lions. They're feeling optimistic about the Sam Darnold and company. This is where I think your veterans need to step up. This is where a Frank Gore might have more of a role, in my opinion, than a Kenyon Drake, because he knows what a hostile environment is like. He knows what a big game atmosphere is like, and I think this is a big game early in the season. This is where Ryan Tannehill, you see his leadership qualities, where Adam Gase gave everyone Monday off, and he says, no, fuck that. I think the offense needs to go into the film room. Everyone agrees, and they get together and have an extra day of film session because of Ryan Tannehill's leadership. I think Kenny Stills has stepped into that role of being somewhat of a lead-by-example guy, and those are going to be the guys on offense, both Kenny Stills and Ryan Tannehill, that I think, and Frank Gore, that are probably going to have a big game or need to have notable roles to keep this team focused in that hostile environment. On defense, yeah, like you said, I think you have to get at that guy's feet. You have to get at Sam Darnold. You have to put people around him. You have to make him uncomfortable and rattled. If you can hit him early, maybe Andre Branch can yell body bag and knock him out of the game. I'm not sure, but you do. I think if you can get your front end of that defense, your defensive tackles, your defensive ends, your defensive line as a whole, wreaking havoc, causing pressure, and making Sam Darnold panic, have happy feet, and throw the ball where he doesn't want to throw it, that's where Rashad Jones, Minka Fitzpatrick, and those linebackers can fly all over the field, knock balls down, hit their wide receivers, hit those tight ends, and possibly pick a ball here or there, because Sam Darnold has shown that he will throw an interception for in front of the entire world there. So I think that's really going to be the key, is if Frank Gore and Kenny Stills and Ryan Tannehill can settle the offense down when they're on the field. Then on defense, you really need to have the pass rush, or you at least need to have people make him feel pressure. I don't know if you need seven sacks or anything like that, but you need to knock him down. You need to get his jersey dirty. You need to make him make sure that he is aware that those big boys are there. And I think if you do that, you'll be just fine, because I do think the Miami Dolphins have a lot of talent, and I do think that Adam Gase is a better coach than Todd Bowles, and I think we have more talent at the quarterback position, which is what I want to point out as well. David Hyde, I believe it was David Hyde, came out this week and said that this offense suits Ryan Tannehill's strengths. And I thought it was a key point that he was making, was that Adam Gase is known as the quarterback whisperer, but he really is the Ryan Tannehill whisperer. And going back to the Tennessee Titans game, and what we should be seeing going forward is an offense that's geared around Ryan Tannehill and not a Jarvis Landry like you saw in years past, or not around a running back or any sort of skill position player other than the quarterback. And since Ryan Tannehill is your unique starting quarterback, then you need to have a unique offense that goes to his strengths. And I think Adam Gase has done that for Ryan Tannehill, which is probably why Ryan Tannehill has grasped this offense better than the other people that we've seen, be it Matt Moore, Jay Cutler, or anything else, because this is the Ryan Tannehill offense. So I think if they stick to those principles and they game plan with Ryan Tannehill's strengths in mind, we have the ability to maybe go in and snake a victory away on a hopefully doubly focused Miami Dolphins team against a surprisingly talented New York Jets team week one.
This is a game right here, Sam, where we talked prior to the season starting where it's all up to Ryan Tannehill to shut his haters up. This is that game where he needs to go out, yep, assert his dominance. Yep. Gase needs to call a phenomenal call as a play caller to silence these doubters. This is the game where if we want to etch ourselves as the next heir apparent to the AFC East, when Tom Brady retires, when Belichick retires, and they're getting there, who's the next team to step up? If you look on paper, the Jets should be a few years away. The Dolphins have that veteran talent that you mentioned, the Wakes, the Hayes, the Jones, the Tannehill, the Stills. These guys need to now step up and say, we've played these games 100 times. We've played in New York every season. We know what it's like. We know what it takes to win. We have to just go out there and make it happen. And there's no more excuses. There's no excuses for a bad game where you throw multiple interceptions, fumbled snaps. This is a game where they need to go out and say, hey, guys, little brother, you're going to be up here running around with us in a few years. But right now I'm going to have to snuff your shit, because We know what it takes to win and what it takes to do it. This is one of those games where Todd Bowles should be coming out after the game saying they just had the veteran leadership that we didn't, and we hope to be there one day. Tip of the cap to them. They played a better game than we did with less mistakes, more better fundamentals, more discipline. That's what this game should be. And this is where it's a big test early on the road, division game after a big odd victory and an AFC opponent that went to the playoffs last year, where you can start getting people talking and start shutting up the doubters.
Yeah, I think if you beat the Jets at home week two and you go 2-0, you're going to start seeing the Miami Dolphins start crawling up that those depth charts or those lists of where every team is in the league. They're going to have to, pardon the pun, weather the storm a little bit early, because I think the Jets are going to come out fiery. They're going to come out, you know, ready to light the Miami Dolphins players up. And if you can just weather that storm, get to the second quarter within striking distance, if not tied or possibly having the lead, then I think you can start going to work. Adam Gase is the master at making second half adjustments, so you just have to make sure you're not so far out of that realm of coming back so that you can actually come back. And I think that's really going to be the key, and I think that's where somebody like a Frank Gore, who knows he needs 4 yards, so he goes out and gets five and just grinds it out and extends that offense. It starts to take that crowd out of it. That's where I think it's going to be key for the Miami Dolphins. What do you think? Final score, gun to your head, do the Miami Dolphins win, and if so, by how much?
Well, until they prove me otherwise, I'm going to keep being the optimistic self I'm going to be. I'm going to say we win this game on a very close one, 23-17.
23-17. Is this a come-from-behind victory, or do you see us kind of getting out to an early lead and just playing keep away for the rest of the way? How do you see this game playing out?
Based on what I saw last week, comparatively to 2016, where we were constantly coming from behind, I agree with you. I feel like we just were in control. Mariota wasn't too much for us. Even when he had a couple long drives, we bend, we didn't break. We held him on fourth down, or we held him to field goals. That's that kind of defense that you want, and we have the playmakers out there to do it. They just are relentless. These guys don't lose. Minka Fitzpatrick didn't lose in college, so he's going to force these guys. McMillan and Baker did not lose in college at Ohio State, so they're not going to just sit back and allow a touchdown to happen, even if they're at the 1 yard line on first down. They just don't accept that. They don't accept defeat, and I think we're seeing the coin change a little bit to that difference of, instead of playing from behind, we kind of take that lead, grab you by the throat and choke you out slowly. So I do see this being a grind, maybe possibly tied later into the game, but then Tannehill and our offense goes down, maybe pull something out of their sleeve, and we take the lead and our defense holds them for once.
I like it. I can get behind that game plan. Me personally, I'm going to ride with you. I'm going to play roulette here, and I'm just going to keep riding it until it doesn't win anymore. I see it being a little bit more of a lower scoring affair. I think you're going to see a little bit of a bounce back for the New York Jets. I don't think Sam Darnold and the Jets are quite ready for 40 points week in and week out. I think the Miami Dolphins are a little bit more of a disciplined team than the Detroit Lions are. The Jets are coming off of a short week. The Miami Dolphins are coming off of a very long, exhausting process for that game. Which usually means you're going to have some sort of hangover effect the next week. I could be wrong, but I see this thing going 17-14 with, let's call it a mid to late fourth quarter field goal from Jason Sanders to break a tie, and the Miami Dolphins defense making us pucker a little bit late, but ultimately stopping them on fourth and whatever, turnover on downs, victory formation, Ryan Tannehill and everybody takes a knee, and we all go home happy into week three against the shitty Oakland Raiders. We both have it winning. You've got it 23-17. I've got it 17-14. Both in the Dolphins' favor. If either one of those scenarios wins, then we'll be happy, will we not, Chris?
Oh, I'd be thrilled, man. Like you said, 2-0 with a pretty favorable schedule still up ahead, especially getting one off our schneid on the road of a divisional opponent this early in the season. We don't have to deal with the elements, the weather, so that would be huge for us.
Where are you watching this game on Sunday? Are you back in the man cave, hopefully?
I don't know, man. There's a thing. Hurricane Florence is battering down on Charlotte in the next couple of days. My son had school canceled Friday, and I look to have a forecast of just a shit ton of rain and wind Saturday and Sunday, so that doesn't look good for DirecTV, considering a squirrel can be eating a nut in front of the dish and I will lose satellite coverage. So I'm looking to be watching the game on my fucking phone. Thank God for unlimited data if I have to. Hopefully I have cell phone coverage and at least a little bit of power to charge my phone. If not, man, I'm going to need some homeboys to hook me up with some updates. It's going to be a rough one.
Well, I got your back. I got your hookup if that's where it needs to be. I'm going to be watching this thing on a little bit more of a private basis myself. I'll probably go watch it with some fellow Dolphin comedians, who've got the hookup there. So we'll be watching this and either crying in our beer after a bad loss or taking shots after a huge win. So stay safe out there. Those hurricanes are no joke. And with that being said, goodbye once again. From Perfectville.
Later.
DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.